Well, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to be picking up a verse out of Ephesians here in a few minutes. But we're going to be talking this morning about grace that is amazing. We're going to be talking about grace that when you really think about it, you just stop and go, wow. Now, we need to have more of those wow moments. I told you I already had a wow moment this morning, but God had already given me the title of this message. And I actually took it from grace that will cause us to say wow to grace that is amazing, because folks, it is amazing, and that's what makes us say wow. And I want us to stop and think this morning, what do we think about when we hear the word grace? Now, we are kind of bombarded with it. We have colleges like Grace Bible College. We have churches with grace in their name, and there's nothing wrong with that by any means. Grace Point Free Will Baptist in Cabot is one that's close to us. We are just surrounded with the word grace. You know, sometimes we say when we get ready to eat, would you return grace? Anybody ever heard that? Well, that phrase got me in trouble one time when I worked at the bank. The bank president and I did not get along very well, and he asked me at the bank Christmas banquet one year, he said, would you return grace? And his name was Greg, and I looked at him and said, Greg, I didn't take grace. Some of you will catch that later. And of course, he didn't appreciate it either. But we are constantly surrounded with the word, but my question this morning is, do we really understand the magnitude of grace? It's a deep, deep, deep spiritual concept. And we're going to look at it this morning. Grace is a very important doctrine to us as Christians. We're going to look at this verse in more detail later, but Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8 says, for by grace are you saved. Folks, it doesn't get any more important than that right there. Without grace, we cannot be saved. It is that critical to the Christian faith. And this morning we are going to look at grace. We are going to look at the fact that through God's grace, God's love comes to us free of charge, no strings attached, and absolutely unconditional. That's how amazing this grace is. Again, free of charge, no strings attached, and absolutely unconditional. Now, you just missed a real good place to say wow. It is that amazing. Now, one thing that I found very interesting, and I'm going to do some more research on this, but so far the research that I have done, I have not found anywhere where Jesus ever used the word grace. But he definitely lived it and taught it, didn't he? Right. We're going to look at some of the things that he did as we go through this message this morning. The first thing that we need to understand in understanding God's grace is that we need to realize that it cannot be earned. And I really think this is where we as human beings and as Christians have a hard time sometimes, because we live in a society that is based on earnings and rewards. We go to work. And we work hard for a week or two or three or four, however long our pay period is. And then we get our paycheck because we earned it. And rightfully so. I have never heard anybody get their paycheck and say, oh, thank you so much. I know I didn't deserve this, but thank you for giving this to me. I could never thank you enough. No, we don't do that, do we? Because we earned it. And like I said, we, in the natural world, in the secular world, we do have to earn our paycheck. If you don't work on your job, shame on you. You know, a lot of people quit working, looking for work when they find a job. Well, we ought to be looking for more work when we find a job, to be grateful that we have that job. But our society is so ingrained with the idea that the harder we work and the more we work, then the more we're going to receive, that it's hard for us to understand grace. Because grace is just the opposite. You cannot earn grace. Cannot be earned. And for humans, it's our nature to think that we have to either earn God's love or we have to be good enough to get God to love us, if you want to call it that. You know, we kind of look at like as we have two buckets. We have our bucket of good deeds and our bucket of bad deeds. And if I've got enough stuff in my bucket of good deeds, then God's going to love me and God's going to be good to me and God's going to show His grace on me. But if my bucket of bad deeds is getting full, oh, then I'm in trouble. Well, when it comes to God's grace, that just doesn't apply. God loves us no matter what we do. Grace means that there is nothing that we can do to make God love us more, and there is nothing that we can do to make God love us less. And let me prove a point to you on that ought to just really hit home. God loved Judas just as much as He loved Jesus. Now, folks, that's hard for us to comprehend, isn't it? But that's what grace is all about. See, it has nothing to do with us. Grace is not based upon us. It is based completely upon God's character. And God is love. We cannot earn grace. And that is so important. Yes, we need to be living righteously. And we're going to look at that more here in a few minutes. But it is so undeserved. And so, we're so unworthy of it, and we could never earn it. We just need to learn how to receive God's grace. Amen. And when we do receive it, I promise you, it will help us and will make us, in fact, step back and say, wow, God's grace is amazing. And I can't help but think when the song Amazing Grace was written, that the person that wrote that, I can't think of her name right now, but when she wrote it, she had to have one of those wow moments, just overwhelmed with God's amazing grace. The second thing that we need to understand about grace is that it allows us second chances. Now, we all know the parable of the prodigal son. I'm going to change the name of that parable today. I'm going to change the name to the parable of the gracious father. Sometimes we overlook the father in that parable, and we don't look at him at least in as much detail as we should. But here his son was, basically disowned the family, definitely dishonored his father in the way he handled everything, said, give me my inheritance, I'm out of here. The father didn't have to, but the father gave him his inheritance. And we know that he went and did some of the most horrible, despicable things that can be imagined, and to Jewish people, some of them were even beyond our comprehension. But two things I want to notice about the father. First of all, the father was always looking for his son, because it says when he was yet a far way off. And the father didn't just stand there. When he saw his son, he didn't just stand there and say, well, when he gets here, we're going to have a talk. No, it says that he ran to meet him. And the son, we know, had been feeding the pigs. And I know Brother Carl and Sister Sandy have been in the pig business before. We've been in the pig business. You can't feed the pigs and not smell like pigs. You come into the house, you stink, just like the pigs did. Now, fortunately, we've got showers and soap and all that good stuff. But the son in the story didn't have a chance to take a shower. He came filthy, dirty, and says the father fell upon his neck and kissed him and said, put a ring on his finger, shoes on his feet, get him a robe and go kill the fatted calf, the very best calf we have. My son has come home. Amen. Folks, that is grace. Amen. Did the son deserve it? He absolutely in no way deserved it. We didn't deserve it either. And we still don't deserve it. Another great example of grace is the life of Paul. Paul was a devout Jew. He hated the name of Jesus. Now, I don't know how much you know about Jews back in that time. They loved and worshiped God, but they hated Jesus. That's why they killed him. Paul was determined. He had purposed in his heart to do everything he could to completely stop the name of Jesus from being spread any further than it was. He went to all the different churches, and he went in, and he caused turmoil and chaos and persecuted the people, threw them in jail, even killed some of them. And then he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. Paul, in his own words, said that he was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man. He knew he did not deserve God's grace. But he had experienced God's grace, and it completely changed his life. And praise God it did. Because of Paul, we have at least half of the New Testament today that we have. Because Paul reached out and took and received God's grace. And the very same way that God's grace gave Paul a second chance, it'll give you a second chance as well, if you need one. The third thing that we need to understand about grace is that it is our means of salvation. Oh, boy, it doesn't, like I said earlier, it does not get any more important than that, does it? Our means of salvation. Again, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. It is by grace you are saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God and not by works. In other words, you cannot earn it. Therefore, you cannot boast about it. God's grace is so amazing. And one thing I want us to understand is that God's grace is always offered. Always offered. It's being offered here this morning. But folks, we have to receive God's grace before it will ever benefit us. We have to receive it before it will ever benefit us. We as Christians need to understand that we have been taken out of our sinful state, a state where we were not only sinners, but where we were enemies against God. And we've been saved from our sins. And not only have we been saved from our sins, but we have been translated, the Bible says, into the kingdom of God and into God's family. What kind of amazing grace is that? That would be just like some of us. If we went down, my mom and dad at one time went down to Mexico into the city dumps and said there's people just living out there in the dump. And we went down to one of those people and just picked one. And said, I want you to come and become a part of my family. And I'm sure they were, what do you want? No, just come. We just want to take you out of this trash. We want to take you out of this dump that you're in. And we want you to come be a part of our family. Folks, that's how we were. We were living in the dump of life. Enemies against God. Sinners. Rotten to the core. And God said, I don't want to just save you. I want to take you and make you part of my family. That's how amazing grace is. Now, I want to spend the rest of today applying what we've just learned. Because if we don't know how to apply it, then what we've learned really isn't going to benefit us all that much. Just to give you a very quick review, we've looked at grace being something that we cannot earn. We've looked at grace and see that it allows us to have second chances and that it is our means to salvation, but we need to learn how to apply it. And I like what Chuck Swindoll said. He said, knowing about grace is one thing. Living in grace is a completely different thing. And that's kind of what I said earlier. We have to receive that grace before it's beneficial. The first thing about grace is we have to learn to live and walk in God's grace. Paul said at one point, should I continue in sin that grace may abound? And he's saying, in other words, since there's all this grace out there, is it okay for me just to keep on sinning? And if you know that scripture, you know that it says, God forbid. And if you go to the original Greek, it says, may it never be. In other words, we shouldn't keep on sinning just because the grace is there. Because there's grace there, we ought to live just as holy and just as righteous as we possibly can. In honor and gratitude of that grace. But if we do sin, and let me say this, we shouldn't sin nearly as often as we do. We ought to be able to go for extended periods of time without sinning if we're in the Word of God and living by the Word of God. But if we do sin, the Bible tells us that we have an advocate. We have a lawyer that will go and present his own blood before God and say, God, they've asked for your forgiveness. I'm asking you, because of my blood, will you please forgive them? And because of God's grace, and by the way, it's not just grace, he's rich in grace, he will forgive us. That ought to make us want to live holier and closer to him and more of a righteous state than even before. But there's a second step to that. Since we've been given this grace, it's our privilege and our duty as Christians to show grace to others. Now, I want you to listen very closely to what I'm getting ready to share with you. God laid this on my heart this week, and I'd never really thought about it quite in this way before. But folks, this will hit every one of us here. When the world thinks of the church, they don't often think of grace. I read about a lady up in Chicago this past week. She was a prostitute. She was down. She was out. She was feeling horrible and terrible. She hated herself. She hated her lifestyle. She hated everything about her. And somebody said, well, have you ever thought about going to church? And she said, go to church? I already feel bad enough about myself. Why would I go there? Think about it. She's right. We don't treat people that come in with the grace that we should treat them. Remember when the lady was caught in the very act of adultery and they took her to Jesus? He didn't tell her, you're getting everything you deserve. He told her, go and sin no more. He treated her with love. He treated her with respect. He showed God's grace to her. We have a tendency to hate the sinner and the sin. But folks, we need to hate the sin and love the sinner. We'll never reach them if we don't learn to love them. And I've heard, fortunately not here, but I've heard countless people that say they hate the homosexual people. You'll never reach them if you hate them. You have to show grace toward them. You have to show respect toward them. You have to let God's love flow through you. Yes, you hate their sin. It is despicable. It will destroy them and it will destroy our nation if we don't get out of it. But by hating them, it's not going to do anything but push them further away and tell them, well, there's nothing at the church for me. There's no way out of this because they won't even let me get close to them. We have to be full of grace. And we have to show grace. You know, when our friends and our family are around us, do they see us extending grace? Do they see us extending undeserved kindness to our family, to our friends, to our church family, to our co-workers? And I've admitted before you before, and I'll admit to you again, that I have to stay on top of this. If I let the flesh rule in my life, I am a very revengeful person. I want everybody to get what's coming to them. But that's not what grace is about. I have to back up and say, okay, God, you said vengeance is yours. I commit it to you. I have a responsibility to love these people and show them grace and to show them mercy and to let your love flow through me. C.S. Lewis wrote something, and if I had ever read this before, I don't remember it, but this is powerful, folks. I want you to really listen to this. He said, to be a Christian means to forgive the inexcusable, because God has forgiven the inexcusable in you. I want to reread that, because that hits home with me, and I'm sure it probably does with you. He says, to be a Christian means to forgive the inexcusable, because God has forgiven the inexcusable in you. And what does God do when he forgives us? He separates our sin as far as the east is from the west, to never be remembered again. So with grace, we need to not only understand what it is, but we need to receive it and live holy, godly lives because of it. And we need to extend that grace to other people. And here's the invitation. First of all, if you've never received God's grace, if you've never been saved, if you've never gone to God and said, God, I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me. I receive your grace. Will you please forgive me? Will you please be my Savior? Then I'm going to ask you to come this morning. We're going to have people down front here that will pray with you and that will show you how to be saved, that will show you how you can go from being a sinner to being part of the family of God. And you can experience that grace. And if you're already a Christian, the invitation is for you to show more undeserved favor and kindness and forgiveness to those around you. Undeserved kindness and favor to people here in the church, on your job, ever in your family, anywhere and everywhere. People need to see God's grace flowing through us, and a lot of times they probably don't deserve that forgiveness, but folks, neither did we when God forgave us. And I'm so glad he did. Let's stand and let's pray. Father, we come before you. Thank you for grace that is so amazing. That you not only love us, but Father, you love us in spite of who we are. And it's not based upon our character. It's not based upon what we do. It's based completely and totally upon your character. And Father, help us this morning to receive your grace. If there's someone here this morning that has never received Jesus Christ as their Savior, help them to realize that you are offering that grace this morning, but that they must receive it before it will ever benefit them. And Father, for those of us that are Christians, I pray that you would speak to our hearts about people that we need to forgive, and that we need to treat others with respect and honor and with love the same way that Jesus has treated us and has treated everyone he ever dealt with. And help us, Father, that grace would just flow through us. We even sing that song, that grace flows down. And Father, it truly does. And we thank you for it, and we thank you for what you're going to do here this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.